Hello, and welcome to episode 98 of Bitter Comics. This is JT Foreman. I am here with two good friends, Danny the Minchmaster Minch.
Say hi.
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 That was me saying hi, Danny the Minchmaster Minch. Wiggity wiggity whack.
And Jen, I have the cutest laugh in the world, Felix.
Hi.
Hi. How's it going, guys?
Amazing.
Fabulous.
Oh, awesome. You forgot to mention Charlie.
Charlie, if you hear the clickety-clacky, that's his toenails on the floor of the kitchen here where I'm over at Jen and Danny's place recording this episode of the podcast. We begin once again with our opening segment. JT was a real prick last week, in which I apologize to the cruel for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things that I said last episode. Well, this is episode 98, so for my insensitivity in episode 97... I would like to apologize to comedy club owners, restaurant owners, comedy show waitresses, and comedians.
I accept your apology on behalf of all comedians.
Well, there you go. You were on the last episode, so you know exactly what I did. If you'd like to know why I'm apologizing for these things... check out episode 97 and all our previous episodes at bittercomics.podbean.com. If you would like to subscribe to the podcast, just go to bittercomics.podbean.com and scroll down a little bit on the right-hand side of the page. There are buttons to click on to subscribe using iTunes, Google, or my Yahoo. And if you feel I owe any additional apologies, send us an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com. And in the subject line, please put book a comedy show. I wouldn't let you pamphlet a comedy show. How's it going?
Amazing.
Cool. Thanks for coming, guys. I thought of something vaguely amusing on the way here today. I told you guys about this already, but I haven't told them, so I'm going to say the joke again. So you have to pretend it's still funny and laugh. Someone told me that they got busted for marijuana possession, and they got 6 months probation. And I said, well, it could be worse. At least you didn't get caught in a construction zone. You would have gotten a year. See, penalties double in a construction zone.
Tell the rape one. I like the rape one.
Oh, you like
better.
The rape version better?
Yeah, I like the rape version better.
A guy got sentenced to 10 years for rape. Who would have only gotten 5, but, you know, construction zone.
He did it in a construction zone. That's a better joke. That's a far better joke. Now let's do it.
Somehow
with
rape makes everything
molesting
funnier,
a 6-year-old boy.
Rape
molesting
makes everything
boy?
Better.
Does rape make everything better, or does construction
zone make everything better? It does in our relationship.
Rape
in a construction zone makes it.
Well, it makes it doubly better.
It makes it doubly better. It's because of the cones.
Well, she really reacted much more enthusiastically when I said it as rape. Instead of as
well, see.
I think you need to take her to a construction zone. Sometime.
I have.
Okay, cool.
It may or may not have been her. I think you should do the rape one at like Casey's or a place apropos to Casey's.
Yeah, and Mother then, Mary's or the coffee lounge. I should do the marijuana.
Okay.
You have to tailor the joke to the location. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like if I'm doing the joke. In Northwest Fresno, then I need to do some sort of accounting scheme.
So my new one-liner.
I embezzled $500,000 from my company, and I was given a $1 million bonus when I was fired. I would have gotten $2 million, but, you know, it wasn't in a construction zone.
That's a good hosting.
'Cause, yeah, the golden parachute doubles in construction zones.
I got a new one-liner, which is, if Dr. Emmett Brown went back in time in Back to the Future and saw himself, it would be a paradox.
It would be a paradox.
I'm so sick of that joke.
Doc Brown, two docs, paradox.
Paradox.
I know.
It's a paradox.
Well, you know... If Andrew Dice Clay...
But if he did it in a construction zone, it would be a quadridox.
Yeah. Well, you know, if Andrew Dice Clay were to go back in time and meet himself, it would be paradise.
I like that one better.
Yay!
It's a callback.
I like Andrew Dice Clay.
So I think Andrew, if Andrew Dice Clay went back in time and killed himself.
Isn't he already dead?
No.
I thought he killed himself.
No.
Oh. All right.
That he was killed, no.
That was an Andrew Dice Clay impersonator, and then he realized...
Oh my god, I'm impersonating Andrew Dice Clay. That's horrible. You know, I remember hearing, I think it was on This American Life, they were talking to a guy who was a Barack Obama impersonator.
Yes, we heard that one.
Yeah. And he talked about getting hired to go to bars, and they're like throwing stuff at him. It's like, yeah, he's the real president. The real president is going to come to your shitty dive bar and tell bad jokes. And so you need to take your nonsense out on him. Why don't you go back home and watch Glenn Beck again?
That documentary is coming out soon. I just read about it online.
Cool. We watch a lot of stuff like that we see on This American Life, here on This American Life, and then we watch it. The voiceover movie, In a World.
I didn't hear that on This American Life.
In a World.
Have you seen that movie?
No, I haven't.
Very well done.
I remember hearing the guy who did those commercials for a while. He died a few years back.
And they were looking for the new one.
Yeah, but I remember hearing an interview with him on Fresh Air once. Fresh Air is, it's another NPR talk show. It's
hosted by a woman, Terry Gross. Was on Fresh Air.
Okay.
Is that the one with the woman?
Yeah, Terry Gross
hosted that one. Yeah, that's the one when I heard it.
Yeah, it's... she's got to be the best interviewer in the world right
now. I like amazing. Ira Glass. Ira Glass is my jam.
Ira Glass is... It sounds like he's about to fall asleep.
No, I love him. He's neurotic and Jewish, and I just love it.
I don't... Okay.
I hate regular Jews, but if they're neurotic Jews...
Yes, yes.
I'm very turned on.
And he just...
Emotionally stable and well-balanced Jews.
Oh, fuck them. Screw them.
But the neurotic Jews... Sexy.
She was only upset about the neurotic Jews being put down in the Holocaust. She was
put down.
Put down?
Oh, again.
Wait, put down?
Yeah.
They weren't called ugly or stupid or
well, when you put a when you put a when you
you're putting them down.
When you put a dog in a gas chamber, you say you're putting it down.
You're holocausting the dogs.
Yeah. Sorry, Charlie.
Yeah, the dog. Their dog is looking. They have a dachshund, a very fat dachshund, a very spoiled, rotten, fat dachshund.
Gay. Who is gay? Dachshund.
Spoiled, rotten, fat, gay dachshund is staring at us
with a shirt on right now, a yellow rainbow shirt.
Judging us, aren't you?
It's a gay little wiener.
Murph. Gay little wiener.
Gay fat wiener.
Gay actually. Fat wiener.
That's how we like them.
Mm-hmm. Gay and fat. Wieners.
Getting fat. Yay. Okay, now last episode of the podcast, Danny, and
they
I
pump when you cook them.
Throw them off track.
We talked to, we talked to Chad Ivey. We were talking about booking comedy shows. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we discussed was if we were going to open a comedy club here in Fresno, where would we put it? And the specific, north of Shaw Avenue was the general thing, but the specific place you had cited was the shopping center at First and Knees.
Right.
And I happened to be over there a few days ago. So just out of curiosity, I looked around and they have a space available there that I actually think would be a great location for a comedy club, not only because of where it's at, but also because of the space itself looks like it would be very conducive to putting a comedy club in. Now, of course, I don't have a wad of cash in my pocket to be able to open a business like that, but you and I just walked over and had a look at it.
Fortunately, I am a multimillionaire.
Oh, well, yeah.
From doing my comedy.
Which is, why you spending your time doing the podcast with me is because you've got much money that you just decided to... You know, I'm done.
I can do whatever.
So I think I'll go to Fresno and open a comedy club.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, it's a really nice spot. The thing is, they've been tried over and over in Fresno. They caught on for a little bit in the 80s, and then they bellied up, then they tried again in the... Early 90s.
Well, the last comedy club, the last actual comedy club
was the Phineas
in Fresno. They closed in 96, I think.
Yeah.
So. And there hasn't been an actual comedy club in Fresno since then. There have been, you know, there's plenty of places that they'll have comedy once a month or once every couple of weeks. And even for a couple of years at the restaurant Thai Palms, they had shows there once or twice a week.
Yeah.
But there hasn't been an actual comedy club. Now, and they were looking to turn the site into an actual comedy club. And I still don't know exactly what happened, but all of a sudden one day, Thai Palms was just closed. I showed up there on a Monday night for their open mic, and there's a letter on the door from the sheriff's department saying that they'd been foreclosed on.
Right.
And so I don't even know what evicted. So yeah. I don't even know what happened. It just all of a sudden, the door is shut, and I still don't.
100% of the time when you get evicted, it's because you didn't pay your rent.
Well, I understand, but did they not pay their rent because they were like, oh, well, he wants to raise our rent and we're going to play hardball, and then the owner of the place said, no, get out. Or did they not pay the rent because they didn't have the money to? I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why that might have happened.
Usually it's the latter.
Yeah. Well, my aunt and uncle used to own a couple of dress shops here in Fresno. They closed, you know, a couple decades ago when they moved. But I know at one point they were in that kind of a negotiation over the renewing of their lease, and they didn't want their rent doubled. And so as the strategy to try to convince him to not double their rent, they said, okay, well, we're going to have to close down then. And then the guy said, okay, go ahead and close down. And then they closed down. And, but, you know, I guess that's a risk anytime you're renting the place, because it's not yours. At any moment, the person who actually owns the building can just pull it out from under you.
Well, not once your lease is up.
Yeah.
Once you're in a lease renewal, they can't do it when you're still... They can't raise the rent while you're in a lease.
Yeah.
Can't they? They can't.
I guess with a lot of businesses, moving at all is really going to hurt you, because a lot of your customers know where you're at. And even if you put a sign on the door that says, we moved to so-and-so place, they aren't going to go to your new location to go to where you're at. And, you know, especially a business like if opening a comedy club, you know, very few people are going to go to every show, if anyone. You know, they might go to a show once every 2-3 months, once every 6 months or something. Mm-hmm. And if you move, all of a sudden you've got to try to, you're basically starting all over.
Right.
Mm-hmm. on building up your audience. So, you know, I guess if there is any way you could buy the land and build your own location, that's what you of course would want. That's the only reason I'm sure that places like the Comedy Store have been there for 40 years, 50 years. The Improv, Laugh Factory in Hollywood, is because, you know, they own the building, so it's not like someone can jack up the rent to the point where they just have to close.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, we just watched that documentary last night. That's what happened to the Improv in New York.
Yeah.
They couldn't afford to keep the building.
So they turned it into a pizza place.
Which I'm sure makes a lot more money than a comedy store.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, you know, I see that all, because I don't know exactly how much my aunt and uncle were making on the dress shops that they had. But the stores that were in those locations after they left, well, first of all, it took like 6 to 9 months before something else moved in. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember exactly what the businesses were, but I just remember thinking it's another clothing store. One of them was another clothing store. The other one was some other kind of store, but I just can't imagine that it's going to make enough more money that they're going to pay that double amount of rent that the person wants.
Mm-hmm.
There was a pizza place I really liked that used to be near my dad's house that closed because the guy wanted to triple their rent. And they're like, no, we can't do that. And then he came back to them and said, well, how about double? And then they said, you know, we're just going to close down. This isn't worth it. And there's a dry cleaners in that spot now. I can't imagine that the dry cleaner is going to pay double the rent that a pizza place will.
Yeah.
But
but I think a dry cleaner makes more than a pizza place.
Mm-hmm.
By far. A pizza place can make like $400 a night on a good night. No,
it's closer to like $5,000. But
what, just pizza?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I did. I worked in a pizza place for 10 years. Yeah,
but they did more than pizza.
Well, I mean, not when we first opened. You're working in a full service Italian restaurant.
So $5,000 a night.
It used to be just delivery and pickup.
Oh, really?
And it was $5,000 a day.
On a really, really good night, you could make up to that much, way more than $400.
Was that how much you made, or is that sales?
That's sales.
Yeah.
I don't know what the profit margin is on the
pretty good.
Like yeah. I mean, but when you're running an operation like that, labor and
products
and everything isn't that much for a small pickup and delivery restaurant. Now what they've got going now, way more expensive.
Yeah, the full service restaurant, way more pretty high end food.
Yeah.
You know, or higher end food and
Yeah, but if you're
Mother Mary's at Willow Knees, excellent food. Try it.
Got two shows this week with all of us there on the 30th.
Yeah.
Let's get it back to comedy, people.
Well, yeah, let's
enough pizza places and dress shops. We're so done with that.
How did you guys? Well, Jen, let's start with you.
Okay.
You were supposed to open, but you ended up featuring, which means you had the second spot because somebody got you there late.
Yeah, my driver.
Yeah, your driver got you there late. The show a couple weeks ago at the Coffee Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
You were very funny as always, and everyone seemed to love you because you're so wonderful. what do you think of the room? And you know, what do you think of the shows there?
Honestly, I was way better than I expected. I was thinking, coffee shop? Like, how many people can you fit in here? But there's like 40 people in there.
I counted, there was 29 people sitting down.
Oh, well, it felt like 40 and people.
It did feel like 40 people. I've been telling everybody 40 people.
But, okay, let's go. There were 40 people there.
Yeah.
But it was a fun room. The audience was popping, and it was a real intimate crowd. It was
some of
fun.
Them were locking. That was the weird part.
What?
Popping and locking.
Why you gotta ruin
I don't even know what that is.
It's a hip-hop dance.
It's a kind of dance?
It's a gay dance.
A gay homosexual dance.
Yes.
Well, that's an oxymoron.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. Go ahead.
Well, The thing that about the show at the Coffee Lounge rather than most other shows, you know, there's no alcohol there, so you don't have to risk that the drunken a-hole is gonna start heckling. But what you do have is the hyped up on caffeine a-hole.
Yeah.
And but also, like, you know, drunk people are only half paying attention. So if you're not getting any laughs, you can say, well, you know, the audience is wasted. They didn't really know what was going on. But at a coffee lounge, everyone's all drinking coffee drinks. They're all caffeine. They're there.
Yeah.
So if they're not laughing, you're just not funny.
Yeah.
So, but they were laughing at you at you and actually at everyone in the show. So everyone was.
That was a
funny.
Really fun show. Yeah. I had a really good time.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed that show a lot. We sold a pretty good amount of shirts that night too.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Cool.
Yeah, and it just everybody.
I get 10%. I'll take it in Pepsi.
Okay, well, you got it.
Done.
Everybody was especially afterwards. Everybody was so, I think, so excited because I think a lot of people weren't expecting as good of a show as it was.
Yeah. Well, I gave a number of tickets away. I actually sold I sold 18 tickets. Before the show, or 18 or 19 tickets before the show started.
Mm-hmm.
But each of those people that I sold the tickets to, a lot of them, I gave them extra tickets on the agreement that they have to give the free ticket to someone who had not been to a show there before.
Oh, that's and, you clever. Know,
that way it's like, well, I'm not losing any sales on that and maybe getting some new people. And so there were a number of people there who have never been to any of my comedy shows. And as far as I may never, you know, they may never have been to a comedy show
that's
before.
That's what it seemed like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the people talking afterwards, it seemed like a lot of people had never been to a comedy show before.
And then six people actually showed up and bought tickets there the night of the show, which means I get to sell them for $15 instead.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's nice, but I would still rather sell the ticket in advance just so that I'm not worried that, gosh, who's not
going to... That's the way it goes with almost every promoter. Yeah. Matter of fact, four of the people came from me posting on Facebook.
And I appreciate it.
No problem. Mm-hmm. It was some people that had come to one of my other shows, and it was their first time at the other show, at the AppCal show.
Oh, okay, cool.
No, it wasn't the AppCal show. It was the Mother Mary show. But the people from AppCal bought a table at the Mother Mary show and brought these people to the next Mother Mary show.
Okay.
And so it just one falls into the next. And then that husband and wife bought tickets at the door for that show.
Yeah.
Tommy and Rusty, and who I think are two of the greatest people. I Facebook play around with them all the time. Like, we jump on threads and we have a great time. Like, we're like having like Facebook three ways all the time. And what was that girl's name? Another one of the fans. One of the other fans brought the old guy in the front row that was he wasn't old. He is actually younger than me. But
you're looking what I just wrote down. That's to remind me of something I want to talk about. You're talking about
the Whipple supercharger guy. The Whipple supercharger guy. Okay. She brought him, and I didn't realize they were together because she comes to the shows. She comes to a lot of the shows.
Yeah.
So it was really cool to see, because usually you don't get to see the people, but at that place, like, you, they're there, but you can't actually pick them out.
Yeah.
But at the coffee shop, well, you were able to pick them out.
It's small enough that you don't have 200 people in the room. You got 40 people in the room. So it's a lot easier to identify. Well, one thing I'm glad I was able to do, I recorded that show. And which, of course, you know, I got a copy I'm going to give to you. But one of the people who came to the show, his name is Clay. The last show I put on, he brought his girlfriend with him. He's like 70 and she's like 70 also.
Mm-hmm.
This time, you know, he bought two tickets for this show. But she was apparently went into the hospital a couple days before.
Oh, no.
And so he wasn't going to come at all. But she said, no. You have to go to the show. It was so much fun last time. I want you to go.
Oh, how sweet.
And so, you know, I mentioned to him that in talking to him after the show that I had recorded it. Mm-hmm. And so he asked me for a copy of it to take to her to listen to. So
that sweet man, that sweet old man in the audience?
Yeah.
Oh, he was so adorable.
The one that I kept saying that he needed to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
We need to wrap this up.
Yeah, that was him.
And he came up and he was so thankful for the show.
Yeah.
And even though I picked on him for a good little bit.
Yeah. Well, so I put a copy of the show on a flash drive and gave that to him so he can take it to the hospital for his lady to listen to.
Did you say they were 70?
They're in their 70s.
They must be exactly looking at the flash drive like, oh my, what am we gonna
do? Oh no, actually he knows, he seemed to know exactly what was going on. So, you know, he was
They're putting it into an 8-track. This doesn't work.
It's not gonna fit.
It's too small.
This is the weirdest reel to reel I've ever seen. Maybe if we poke a hole through, we can put it onto the thing to spin.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, I know.
She's like, you old people.
Yeah. Your vagina still smells like baby powder.
I'll take your word for it.
That was disgusting.
Baby powder is not disgusting.
I hate the smell of baby powder.
Really?
I was just saying, you're very young.
I prefer it to oil. Yeah, let's move on.
How many babies do you have to squeeze to get a jar of baby oil? Not my joke. I stole that.
A lot. Okay. So, yeah, it was a great show. And, you know, one thing I was thinking about it is after the show, something Anthony, the guy who owned the place, said to me is that, well, you recorded the show. You should have offered to sell a copy of it to the people there. But, it's not my material. I can't do that. But but anyway, you know, I when I give you the copy of it, you know, listen to it. And you might want to, you know, cut it up so that you and make a CD or something.
Yeah.
If you think it's good enough quality.
Did you listen to it already?
Yeah.
Can you hear the audience laughter? Good. That's what we were very...
And actually...
now that you got this, it was...
I saved it and put it onto a flash drive as an MP3 file. Mm-hmm. But I still have the original recording, the WAV files, the separate recording of the audience and the recording off the microphone.
Oh.
And so if you want...
Oh, you recorded the audience too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you want the audience brought up so you can hear the laughter and applause better, I can do that.
Wow.
So when you listen to it, if you think, oh, this would be good, but the audience needs to be louder or brought down, either way, I can do that. So I can go in and fix it if you want.
Oh, sweet.
You know, some if you like the recording and you want to try to make something out of it, you know, we'll arrange where we can spend a day going over the thing and editing it. To,
oh,
to
that'd be
it.
Awesome.
I recorded yours as well as and Eddie's and nice. Most of mine. I didn't get all of mine.
Which would stuff, be nice but, if we got your website up that even just audio on there people would like. Well, like yeah. A picture of you up on the website with your audio playing. Like you on stage with the audio playing.
Yeah, I don't feel like I need a website.
You don't feel like it, but you should have one. It legit. Honestly, I think a website legitimizes a lot of things to club owners.
Yeah,
it just does.
And well, you know, it is such an easy thing to do, as far as they're concerned. It may in reality be very difficult.
It
is seen as such an easy thing to do that if you don't do it. You know, it's like you don't have business cards. You can't go to Vistaprint and spend $10 to get 250 business cards. You're completely unprofessional. I don't even want to talk to you. It's seen as one of those kinds of things. It's seen as necessary as having a business card to hand out now.
Yeah.
If you don't have a website, it's like, I don't even want to talk to you.
Yeah.
You're not serious, you know, so.
It's a lot of work. I built Danny's website as a Christmas present for him.
Yay,
and
Santa!
It was a month of work.
Of course, you were having to do it in subterfuge.
In secret, yeah. But it took a while to put together, editing pictures, editing video files, and doing the actual website.
Yeah. It came out looking really good. What's the URL of the website,
it's
Danny
Minch's? DannyMinchComedy.com.
Okay. So yeah, check out DannyMinchComedy.com and if you want to see Danny's website that Jen worked very hard.
And my handiwork.
I need to actually update the calendar. We have not yet updated the calendar for our new shows. It just seems kind of late to do now at this point.
Well, I mean, it's a week from now. But, you know, like people are going to be looking this week for things to do this weekend.
Yeah.
And your shows are things to do this weekend. So, you know, it's like... You don't want to advertise too far in advance.
No,
You know, then you're just wasting your time because people are going to forget.
We already have 35 tickets sold to the Saturday show.
Oh, cool.
The Friday show already has 58 tickets sold.
Awesome.
And there's a lot of people saying they're coming to the door. Fortunately, a lot of those people said they're also going to buy tickets to the next day show.
Oh, cool.
Because they're going to get a clean comedy show, but there's a lot of those people that are coming for just a clean comedy show.
Yeah.
But there's some of the people that are coming because it's a charity event.
Yeah.
And they're wanting to come also see the dirtier show the next day.
Cool.
So I actually told them I'd give them a deal on coming to the next show.
Both shows are at Mother Mary's, right?
Both shows are at Mother Mary's.
And both shows start at 9 o'clock.
Now, and while you're here, I might as well ask you, would you like to be on a show July 12th? July 12th.
I would love to.
Okay. It's going to be in Madera Ranchos. It's going to be us four again.
Okay.
I'm going to start promoting it pretty quickly and pretty... Matter of fact, one of the reasons I did it was because those two showed up from... They live in the Ranchos, but they showed up to your show and bought at the door.
Cool.
And they said they could really help sell the show in the Ranchos. So that's one of the reasons I did it. Tommy and Rusty.
Cool. I would love to do the show.
All right.
The thing I wrote down while you were talking, I wrote down don't trust me, because you talking about messaging on Facebook reminded me of something that happened recently. Long ago, a year, 2 years, I don't remember exactly. I was having a conversation by message with someone on Facebook, and they asked me how I liked having a girlfriend. I'd started seeing Marie recently, and I said to him, it's nice to have someone who loves me enough to not trust me. And I just thought it was funny, and that's why I put it there. A few days ago, I walk into the living room, and she's going through my phone.
Oh.
And I said, can I have my phone, please? And she said, here you go. So, what is it makes you think I don't trust you? I said, well... You were going through my phone! Gee, I don't know. I'd like... Have you met Irony? Here's a mirror.
Yeah. It's made of nickel.
So, yeah, so it's, she, I was joking when I put that, because I just thought it was funny. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, she was going through my phone.
Here's, and, you want to hear,
and then, you think I don't trust you? How could you say that?
Here's a funny story a girl at work told me. Her name's Teresa, and she's going through a divorce right now, or moving her husband out of the house right now, and he sounds like a terrible person, but... He was going through, she got home and she's like, go through my phone. I don't care. I have nothing to hide. So she leaves her phone out. I mean, if somebody's guarding their phone like it's Fort Knox, that's the person you need to get a hold of their phone. You know, mm-hmm. She's just like, I'm leaving my phone. But he won't ever let her see his phone.
Yeah.
But she's like, yeah, let's go through my phone. She came home and said, who is Brandon? Who is this Brandon guy? And she's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Well, he got to the Siri part where it gives you suggestions to, you know how they'll say, you can say, call Brandon.
Okay.
Like, as an example of what to say to the phone. And he thought she had called
some guy named Brandon.
Why is it saying call Brandon? And she's like, that's an example of what you can do with the phone. It's like on every iPhone. That's
jealous much?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. Like, well, you know, I honestly don't care if she goes through my phone. I'm not doing anything, and you know, if she really wants to go through my phone, yeah, go ahead. But the fact that she wants to go through my phone
is there.
It makes me wonder what she's up to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, well, you don't, because the thought of not trusting her didn't occur to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in a relationship and it seems fine. It's, okay, I'm just going with it, you know. But that she is so about it, that is the thing that it's like, well, why are you so suspicious? You know, it's
like she's projecting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, Jen, have you ever been in a relationship with the crazy jealous guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any stories about that?
Me.
Because the joke I do about Marie being jealous is that she'll get mad at the mirror for reflecting someone else's image. I just thought that it was a funny joke. It's like, that's pretty jealous. You're mad at the mirror for reflecting someone else's image. She's not really that jealous.
But Jen is like,
other than Danny,
one of the least jealous people I've ever met. It's crazy.
Well, I actually, the most jealous relationship I've ever been in, it wasn't a romantic relationship, but it was with my.
Oh, I do have to say that the sunburn on the top of your nose is friggin' adorable.
I keep touching it.
It's like the top of your nose is like,
that's the one spot you missed. Red.
No, I put.
You got the Rudolph.
We need to get you
Rudolph nose
zinc.
I know,
but it's really cute.
I put sunscreen on it.
We need to get you zinc.
It's really cute. I apologize for interrupting. Please share
the most jealous relationship you were in.
It wasn't a romantic relationship. It was my gay best friend, and he got so jealous whenever I would hang out with anyone, but especially when I would get a boyfriend or if I was dating someone, he would get so jealous that he would steal my boyfriends.
You had a gay friend who would steal your boyfriends.
He would steal my boyfriends. He would, like, bribe them with drugs. Like, that makes it sound really scandalous, but he'd be like,
you want to smoke some
weed? Hey, you want to smoke some weed with me? And I don't really smoke weed, so I'd just be, like, sitting in the corner, like, what?
Was it, how blatant was the bribe them with drugs? I mean, was it like, hey, I'll give you some pot if you let me blow you, kind of, stealing your boyfriend, or?
It wasn't sexually stealing.
It wasn't sexually stealing, but it would get to the point where my boyfriends would be like, oh, I'm going to go hang out with Greg tonight. Is that okay? It wasn't like we were going to go hang out with, I said his name. But
okay. Well, like I remember in the movie, I don't remember the name of the movie, but Vince Vaughn, Jennifer Aniston were living together,
the breakup,
and
terrible.
The dude shows up to pick Jennifer Aniston up for a date, and he's there playing Xbox. It's like, hey man, just check this out while we're waiting. And they start, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, do we have to go out? I mean, we got Call of Duty and Jennifer Aniston is saying let's go.
And doesn't later she walk out naked? To try and
she shaved herself completely. And then walks out there naked, and just to
titillate,
to tease him, yeah. But
I think the most jealous relationship I was in with Michelle for 23 years, she was like, if I watched porn, she thought I was she thought I was cheating on her. If I had sex with 23-year-olds, she thought I was cheating on her. She was just
the porn thing. That's a religious thing, though. I mean, you're a Jehovah's Witness. Right?
I was at the time,
and so you know that religion and many religions say that the thought and the act are
the same as cheating.
Well, not, I don't mean the same as cheating, but the thought and the act are the same.
Same as committing adultery,
You know, like, if you think about stealing a car, it's the same as stealing a car. If you think about punching someone, it's the same as punching someone.
Jehovah's Witnesses don't teach that, though.
Well...
But a lot of guilt-ridden. But the thing was, she was jealous of everything.
Yeah.
And anything. Not just... It wasn't just, I'm jealous that you're looking at another woman.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, you want to go do that instead of spending time with me? You want to go write on your paper? Like, I would write stories, and she'd be like, well, I want your attention totally. It was I want your attention all the time. And that was the weirdest, like, kind of, she's a nice person, but she's ridiculously insane.
Yeah. Well, of course, you haven't been with her for quite a while.
Yeah, like 6 years.
Yeah, so...
She was over for dinner last night.
Yeah. Which was... Actually, she came to one of your shows a few months
back. Yeah, she's been to a couple of them, She got... Her boyfriend got ripped to pieces by Joe Klosik, which was hilarious. Yeah.
You should have made them pay the ticket price.
They thought I
gotta
set...
I got to give you alimony. You're going to give me 15 of that back, all right?
They thought I set that up. They thought I told Joe to go out there and rip into that one guy, which I did not, and it was ridiculously funny. The show was one of the better shows we had at Mother Mary's.
Cool. Yeah. Joe Klosik's really funny. One thing that I do want to say, I've been thinking about something that we talked about on the last episode. I cited a couple people, not as to insult them in any way, because I do think they're very funny. But I talked about people booking the same comedians over and over,
which is what I do.
Yeah, and you know, I specifically, one of the things I said was, well, I saw Ty Rivera and Richard Villa each 4 times last year. But you know, I was thinking about that, and the problem is that I go to so many shows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And most people who go to comedy shows don't go, you know, because I saw Richard Villa and Ty Rivera 4 times last year, but most of the people, the vast majority of the people who went to each one of their shows
only
saw them once last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the fact that I go to so many shows is the reason that it seems to me, and it is true that the same comics are coming back over and over, but they're not being brought back by the same people every 2 months.
No.
It's, you know, and like the people coming to your shows, you've got a different mailing list than Aaron Stewart does, and Aaron has a different mailing list than Chris Cruz does.
And Chad
and
Ivey.
So it's Chad Ivey and all of them. So it only seems like horribly repetitive, and something must be done to me because I go to all of them.
And it seems that way to a lot of people because they comment on it when, you know, Ken Lewis, you're booking that guy again. Yeah, why don't you get somebody fresh?
And you're like, no, I booked him 18 months ago.
Yeah.
I'm not booking him again.
And here's a crazy thing with comedy shows. A lot of those people did see Richard Villa before, but they saw him and then...
They liked
him. In a business sense... When somebody does that well, like Jason Collins, those people that went to the show are going to be like, I want to bring my buddies back. They have to see this guy. They'll bring another five people with them.
Well, you know, when I find something that I really like, I want to share it with people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that goes for everything. Like, the first time I went to Outback Steakhouse, oh my God, the steak is so friggin' good. And I told my friends, oh, we gotta go. No, it's, come on, we gotta go to Outback Steakhouse. And you gotta try their blooming onion and their
cheese fries. You just dropped 10 points in Jen's eyesight right now.
You don't like
Outback Steakhouse? I don't like Outback.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to. It's okay. Do you like P.F. Chang's?
P.F. Chang's also. I've only been there like once.
Been there twice, and I never had. I always got the wrong meals, and they always took really good care of me because they would give me that meal plus the meal I ordered.
Yeah.
So I would always end up with a lot of doggy bag food, but it was always such a. It was always such a hassle when it was going on, and then Chinese food is never. And you can't judge Chinese food when you bring it home and eat it.
I love leftover Chinese.
I think it loses something.
It doesn't taste as good.
Because I get fried Chinese food. You get the vegetable-y Chinese food. I get the fried stuff.
I always at P.F. Chang's, I always get the Mongolian beef and the Chang spicy chicken. Those are the two that I like.
If you like Mongolian beef, go to Dai Bai Dang on their lunch special. $10 with a drink, two egg rolls, rice.
I've never had Mongolian beef that I liked anywhere except for... I've never eaten a Dai Bai Dang, so I don't know
It's good, isn't it?
But I've never had Mongolian beef that I liked anywhere except for at P.F. Chang's.
Everywhere else
I've ever had Mongolian beef, I didn't like.
Because it's American
Dai
version.
Dai Bai Dang, that's in...
It's right across from Edwards.
Across from Edwards, it's in...
Actually, across from IMAX.
But it's in there. Okay. You know, actually, Marie and I almost ate there a couple weeks ago. We ended up going to the brew house thing there instead.
Oh, Yard House. But for $10, you can't beat the deal.
Okay. Next time we're over there,
what were we talking about before that? Reuse of the comedians.
Anyway, my point was to Ty Rivera and Richard Villa. I apologize. Didn't mean anything by it. And after further thought, I realized that the issue was that I go to so many shows. It was never intended that the issue was that they were doing anything wrong. Obviously they're not. And even the people booking them are not doing anything wrong. It just seems like they're here a lot. And they are here a lot, but it seems like, as I'm describing, just because I go to so many comedy shows.
I'm bringing Omid Singh. He's only been here once. But he was in Clovis. This time he's going to be in Chowchilla. It's a whole different cross-section.
It's totally... You're not going to get the same audience.
Yeah, you'll get a few people, maybe. Mm-hmm. But the Omid Singh was so sparse when we had him here. It was before Mother Mary started really picking up steam.
There were like 10 people there.
There was like, I'd say 15. But you remember there was a table of six just with the kids there. There were kids 13 and under that this lady brought. She was like babysitting and brought them to this comedy show.
Len had to convince they ate dinner there, and Len convinced them to come back.
And then they paid.
And then they ended up paying because they liked the
show
so much.
But there was more than 13 people there because of that table.
Yeah.
There was probably 20 people in the restaurant. Yeah. And it was we had so much fun at that show. Even though there was nobody there, we had so much fun at that show that it was like, we always have to bring him back when we know we can get him a bigger crowd.
Yeah.
So now I've got a show that there's going to be at least 100 people at. And I feel like, now he really is going to shine in the Central Valley.
Cool. Looking forward to seeing. When is he going to be here?
It's going to be June 7th.
June 7th, okay.
It's going to be the first annual Chowchilla Comedy Festival.
Okay,
we're going to be doing it once a year. We have a second stage. I call it second stage. It's going to be the same stage. Okay. But from 5 to 7, we're going to have a local showcase.
Okay.
And that, which, honestly, the crowd's not going to show up for. The people, it's going to be comedians watching comedians for the most part.
Yeah.
I think some people will show up at the 5 o'clock stuff. The real show starts at, the feature show. It's a real show. We already got some really good local comedians already booked on it. And 8 o'clock, the 8 o'clock show is when the feature comedy show starts. So, and next year, I want to spin it into there being a comedy competition. That part of it, the 5 to 7 show, be audience participation and judging. And then those comedians go on to get a chance to perform at a large venue, a Hollywood Improv, John Lovitz Club, Madhouse in San Diego, something like that. That's going to be the grand prize.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So before we move into the next thing, I just wanted to see: is there anything specific you guys, anything either of you want to talk about? Anything going on in the local comedy scene you've seen recently? Anything that seemed weird to you? Anything on your agenda you'd like to rap on?
Nothing I can think of.
Well, if you want to rap, I'll beatbox.
Shut up.
Go, Jen. Go, Jen. No.
Okay. You woke up the dog.
Oh, I'm sorry. The dog.
The dog. Okay, so this is something I probably shouldn't talk about on the podcast, but I'm going to anyways. The Coffee Lounge, where I'm doing my shows at, every Friday night there's an open mic there. It is a musical open mic. Uh-huh. The guy who runs it is a musician. And
Who runs it? Is it CJ?
No, no. CJ shows up and performs a lot. The guy who runs it is
That's Steve.
Shit. I should know his name.
I was just hoping it was
I probably CJ. Shouldn't say his name on this.
Since, okay, go ahead.
Okay, so he started as a music open mic. Comedians were showing up here and there, and it got to the point where there were more comedians showing up than musicians, and then some musicians stopped showing up. And so he decided to change it to where, okay, I'm only going to put three comics up, and the rest of the spots is for musicians. I guess he felt like the comedians were running the musicians out.
Mm-hmm.
Which, okay, you know what? He's a musician. He wanted a music open mic. Fine. I mean, he gets to run it however he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
After a couple of months, he decided to change it where I'm not going to have musicians. He had one poet spot also.
Oh, so no more comedians.
And no more comedians, no more poets, just musicians. He made that decision a couple weeks ago.
Which is fine.
And which, yeah, that's fine. He's a musician. He's doing a music open mic. If he doesn't want to have comedians, I have no problem with that. The problem is the reason he gave me for why he was doing this. He told me that he got a call from someone who is complaining about my material.
I don't buy it.
Yeah, well, I don't either. But he's like, well, you know, I got a call. Someone was complaining to me about your racial material, didn't like it, and so I'm not going to do comedians anymore. Now, he did mention a couple of other people. He said the poet wasn't any good at all, and
that's what an open mic's for.
Well, yeah, exactly. But you know what? A musical open mic, musicians don't go to the open mic until they can play proficiently.
All right.
Yeah.
Comedians, and yeah, I don't know anything about poetry, mm-hmm. but a comedian, you don't know what you're doing at all yet, and you have to start going to the
right.
to the open mic because you don't know if it's, especially when you first start, you have no idea if it's funny,
right.
really, until you get up there and perform it. And, you know, if the owner of the place told me, I'm getting calls from my customers complaining about your material, I can't have you here anymore because it's costing me money, I would accept that without question.
Yeah.
He is a businessman. He has a business to run.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm driving customers away, then he can't have me performing. That's just it. He's got to keep the doors open, so he's got to sell his stuff. But another performer doing that, you know, I realize he's a musician and not a comedian, but he's an entertainer too. I guess I expect better.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what really, really bugs me about it. And then he said to me, well, you know, we're not going to have comedians anymore, but you can still come and plug your comedy shows that you're doing here. Which, okay, yeah, you know, I need to do that. Because I have my comedy shows at the exact same location, so I need to be able to do that. So I showed up this past Friday,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't give me any time to plug my show. Now, I did end up selling a couple of tickets for my comedy show to people who were there at his open mic, but he did not give me any time to plug my comedy show during his open mic. So he said he was going to let me, and then when I showed up, I sat there quietly, watched the music open mic the whole 2 hours of it, and he never let me go up. He had all of the, he went through all the musicians who were there, and then went through them all again, giving them additional spots because I assume because of the holiday, not very many people showed up.
Right.
So it's not like there wasn't time.
Yeah.
But then he didn't let me go up to plug my show, which, you know, honestly, he doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
It's his show, but he told me he was gonna. But, you know, that doesn't bug me anywhere near as much as the fellow entertainer telling me, oh, well, I had someone call and complain about your material. You know, and if you listen to the lyrics of some of the songs
mm-hmm.
that get played, and you listen to the lyrics of some songs, period. Wow, it's risque and offensive and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
At least as much, if not more, than any jokes that I tell, except maybe the rape jokes. And I didn't do the rape joke at that place. So I don't know. I kind of feel screwed, and I also kind of feel like you don't really have any right to complain. It's his open mic.
Right. You're right on both counts.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's just threatened by the comedians, though.
I don't know about that. Look, I don't want musicians showing up to my comedy open mic and starting to do songs. Unless they got funny songs.
Yeah.
I definitely don't want poetry people showing up to my comedy open mic and reading poems.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless they have
really funny poems.
Yeah. Like the one poem that I wrote, Blackstone Blues.
Right.
You know, it's pretty funny. And if someone shows up and tells poems that are funny,
mm-hmm.
if someone shows up with music that is funny,
mm-hmm. then that's fine.
Fine, because it's a comedy open mic, and I even. You know, I even told everyone that. But, yeah.
And when's your open mics there?
Well, it's going to be once a month. It's only once a month.
Oh, okay. I think that they should give you at least 3 times a month.
Well, my shows are on Saturdays. And the owner of the place, every other Saturday, he goes down to Bakersfield to visit his kids.
So he closes up?
Well, no, he's not closed, but someone else is running the place for him during the day, mm-hmm. and when they're open at night, he wants to be there. So he doesn't want to be open at night when my open mic's
on.
So, you know, 1 week, you know, I do the book shows once a month, and then there's an open mic once a month, you know, 2 weeks after it.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you do a Thursday open mic?
Because I get up at 4:30 in the morning to go to work. And I don't, and you know, I'm sure he would let me if I asked. But, you know, one thing I really like about doing Saturdays at his place is their normal business hours, they close on Saturdays at 6. So my shows are after normal business hours. So there's no, come in here every Thursday. We come in here every Saturday at 7:30.
That's what I like about the Mary Show.
There is no come in here every Saturday at 7:30. To get a coffee, you know, mm-hmm. someone might stumble in just because, oh, they see the lights on.
Right.
But there's no, oh, well, our regular customers have, no, they don't have any regular customers. I'm here after hours.
Right. Mother Mary's closes at 9. We start our show at 9.
Yeah.
There might be some stragglers left from dinner.
Yeah.
But they're told, hey, if you want to finish your meal, finish your meal and go ahead and go. If you stay for the show, we're going to charge you.
Yeah.
So they've become very good about that because people will try to stay there for the show and then they think they got away with something, but when they get the bill, they've been charged full price for. Yeah, they just tag it on the bill.
Yeah,
and because Len at first he was like, he was giving the show away because then he realized what a value the show was and how much was being put into it, and he's like, those motherfuckers, we're gonna just put it on their bill, bill.
Well, you know, especially when you're selling tickets to fill the room
for him
and then someone who was there for dinner earlier. Well, I'm just gonna stay and get it. No. We need that chair. We sold it already.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You and it's posted on the door that we close at 9.
Yeah.
You gotta finish and go. You can pay the admission, but no. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
Which actually make pretty good when that happens too,
because
there's usually what 2 to 5 people in a party that decide to stay.
Mm-hmm.
So. And then they have to pay the day of price.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the $20.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Well, you have to put the high. There's a number of reasons to put the high day of price.
Right.
One of them is to encourage people to buy the ticket
pre-sale. Because
otherwise they won't. Right. If someone sees, oh, $20 day of, $10 now, they'll buy the ticket now. If they
hopefully.
See, yeah, hopefully. If they see, well, $12 day of, $10 now, oh, I'll get the ticket when I get to the show, and then they'll forget and they won't show up.
Right.
But if they paid the $10 now and bought the ticket, they'll remember. They already paid.
Oh, yeah. Can't be in my mind's on iPod.
Yeah. So and yeah, there's a, and then of course there's
the Groupon, website, Living Social.
Yeah.
Not Living Social. What are we using now?
Amazon
Local. Yeah. Amazon Local. Which, by the way, they use the same. They pay the same out as the other ones.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's not a higher percentage back to the people.
Okay.
But whatever. I you know what? If I could sell 100 tickets at $5 a piece every show, I'd be more than happy to do that.
Yeah.
But that. Never happens. No. So what happens is I get $5 a ticket from a lot of them. And then day of the show, 10 people show up and pay $20.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fine.
Yeah.
Now that's.
I need to nail down who's going to be on the next show in July so I can because I need to have enough time to get it onto Groupon and.
Yeah, you should get then,
it's either going to be Kenny Thomas or Philip Medina. I'm not sure which.
Uh-huh.
I both of them said, "Well, I think I have stuff that month, so check back with me." And I need to know like this week which one of them can do it because
what day is
they want like 6 weeks notice to do a Groupon.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I don't know how much notice Living they Social want on Amazon.
More Local. they want more than Groupon does. Groupon, once you've got your stuff set up with Groupon, they don't need too much of a notice. It can be 3 weeks, but to get everything set up initially, they want a good long time. And Amazon Local wants it every time. They want it like at least a month and a half in advance each time.
Well, you know, honestly, I'm not sure if they're going to be willing to work with me just because of the small size of the room.
They probably won't.
Yeah, I
you might have to lie about the size of the room.
Yeah.
And just say you get 100 people in there because they'll never sell that many tickets anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, they might end up selling, you know, 30 tickets for you.
Yeah, yeah. And if they sold 30 tickets for me, that would fill the place.
Mhm.
Yeah. So, but
how it holds what? 50?
Yeah. We could stuff that in there, yeah.
Yeah, I would say, I would tell them, you have a 100-seat venue.
Yeah.
And then they'll never sell 100 tickets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, well, anyway, we're coming up on an hour.
Oh.
Thanks for doing the podcast.
Hey, no problem.
Thanks for having us.
We got stuff you guys want to plug coming up. You want to go over the shows that you've got coming up in the next few weeks again?
Sure.
Mother Mary's, both the 30th
and the 31st. One's May, a clean June, show on the 30th,
July.
Which is headlining me. You'll be hosting.
I'm hosting. Jen, I guess you're opening and Eddie's going to feature.
And then I think Kevin Tegan's doing a guest spot.
Okay.
This is his trial by fire. He's never had a good set at Mother Mary's.
Really?
So hopefully at a clean show, he'll break that set. And I'm not throwing anything out there that he hasn't said himself. That's why I feel okay saying it. He's told me, I've never had a good set at Mother Mary's. I don't know why. I do well at other places.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've never really seen him have a bad set.
Oh,
because I haven't seen him at Mother Mary's, but
we've seen him.
But
several
I've
times.
Seen him at a number of other places, and he's always done really great.
Yeah,
and I mean that was why I got him headlining the show I'm doing on June 14th.
Then the next day, the 31st, we have Miles Weber headlining. Coming out of Frisco,
when is that show?
The next day, 31st.
Okay, that's the 31st. Is Miles Weber's headline?
And
okay.
Then we got Daniel Each is featuring, and we've got me hosting, and we have Stefan Mintz as the guest, I guess, coming in. And then
I'll be doing a guest set. Even if I'm not doing a guest set, I'll just say that I'm doing a guest set because it gives me an excuse. To go out.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Then I'll be doing a guest set.
Yeah, and he'll be doing a guest set. He'll be bringing up the host.
Okay.
June 7th, we have Omid Singh with feature, I forgot the girl's name. But
also at Mother Mary's? So
no, it's not at Mother Mary's. Oh, okay. It's okay. At Putter's
Bistro in Chowchilla. Putter's Bistro in Chowchilla, so Saturday the 7th.
It's Saturday the 7th. It's also got Eric. Eric from Bakersfield, Eric Seifert, and Joey Valenzuela from Bakersfield. Then I'll be hosting that show also. Then we have a local stage starting at 5 out there, and we already have Ken Lewis, Dave Brissou, Blake Hayden, William Lushbaugh, two guys out of Bakersfield that I forgot their names. We still have, I think, two spots left for that. Because we're going to be doing all like 7-minute sets on that show. And so that's pretty much what we got there. Then on the 12th, we have...
Aren't we doing a show in at Reno's soon?
On the 14th? I believe that's the 14th. So the 12th, we have Rancho's at Christie's Place, which is us four again. Me, you, Jen, and Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
Then the 13th, I'll be in Bakersfield. Me and Jen will be featuring for Darren Carter.
The party starter.
And then on the 14th, we'll be in...
our apartment.
No, we'll be at Reno's.
Oh.
And
where's Reno's?
Kerman.
Kerman, okay. Yeah.
And I think that's all we were booked for in the near... Oh, the 20th. I'll be at Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Okay.
Doing a show there.
Okay, cool. I'll try to write all this down and put it in the show notes. And, of course, I've got a show coming up on the 14th of June at the Coffee Lounge. That's on the northeast corner of First and Gaysburg. The headliner is Kevin Tinkin, who has never had a good set at Mother Mary's.
Never.
But I've seen him do great many, many other places. Yeah. This show won't be at Mother Mary's, so you don't have to worry about that. Also featuring Janae Burris, who I've seen her many times. She's hilarious. And
they're both opening, sweethearts.
Yeah. Opening the show is William Lushbaugh.
Who is the least of the sweethearts of the three, actually. Yeah.
But
he's a nice kid. He's just...
Well, see, here's the thing is I wasn't going to book him on this show because I had him there recently. And I wanted to do different people and everything. Mm-hmm. But when I talked to Kevin and Janae, I asked them, hey, you have a good picture I can use for the poster. They both did the same lazy ass shit that every comedian in the world does, including myself. Oh, just go onto Facebook and pull up one of my pictures there. So I go onto their Facebook and I'm looking through all their pictures and I find one that has the two of them in it. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. They're standing there, yeah, looking at the camera, and it's a great picture of the two of them. I'll use this picture. But then I realized that William Lushbaugh had photobombed them. And his picture, he's got the kind of creepy look.
It's like Satan's coming up behind
him. So the only way I could use this picture would either be to like try to edit out his face from it or to just to have him open.
You could have put the comedy mask in between them.
Yeah, I thought about that.
just cover his face with the comedy mask.
You know, this is not... no offense to him. It just... I had him there recently.
And I just realized that there's another guy behind Kevin. I never saw him before.
I don't know who that is.
I don't either, but he's sticking his tongue out. Yeah.
But, yeah, so, yeah, anyway, William's going to be opening that show, and that's going to be June 14th. And you can buy tickets for that at livemusiccity.com or email me at jtforman@hotmail.com or text me at 559-761-4948. Tickets are $10 in advance or $15 at the door. Tickets for your shows, how do they...
They're $20 at the door, $15 in advance for... the Miles Weber show, $15 general admission for the Omid Singh show. They are $10 for the headlining show that I'm on Thursday. That's a charity event, so even if you don't go ahead and go on Live Music City and donate. I don't even know if it's up there. I'll have to put it up. And... I can't think of any.
But
I think the Kerman show's free. Christie's Place show is $10. Actually, she's going to have 20 tickets at her place for $5 a piece, but you have to go buy them at Christie's Place. So the first 20 tickets sold by her will be $5, which is a really good deal.
Okay.
And then that's about it.
And tickets to all of your shows are available at livemusiccity.com. You can accept the free show, of course.
And Groupon, and a lot of them are on Groupon and Amazon Local. Okay.
So if you have a smartphone, get those apps, or just go to the websites, Groupon.com or Amazon.
And if you're an SMEA member for the Clovis show or the Chowchilla show, go to livemusiccity.com. Go to the SMEA link for either Clovis or SMEA link Chowchilla, whichever show you'd like to go to. And there for SMEA members are a reduced price on those on the website.
Okay, cool, cool. Well, I think that is the longest plug segment I have ever done. You've got a lot of stuff going on, so everyone's going to have plenty of opportunity to see you. Thanks, guys, for doing the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Hey! And, where's the ending song? Is that...
This is the theme to the podcast. I stole the theme from Gary Shanling. No. I don't know.
What walks downstairs? It's a podcast in pairs. It makes a sad comedian sound.
You're doing a callback to a conversation we had before the podcast.
Yeah, but
so
I
no one's going to understand.
Yeah, I know. It's a
so we're
it's
gonna
a cast,
this.
A cast, a wonderful cast.
Shut up.
Love you guys.
Love you too.
Thanks. Thanks again for doing the show. And this is JT Foreman. I'm here with Jen Felix and Danny Mitch.
Woohoo!
We have been the Bitter Comics, and I will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Slinky.